You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to the very first of the semifinal championship games here for Triviality Bloodsport. I'm Jeff, and I'm flying solo today, so I guess welcome to me. I've got a little bit more support here in the studio. Normally I would be joined by our excellent co-host Ryan Myers. Unfortunately, he's suffering from concussion protocol and he can't join us for today. He feels really bad about that. But obviously we want to keep him out of the game, keep him safe and, keep him for later. Want him definitely a part of the championship, final games. So, Ryan's going to be on bed rest for today and, I'm going to be running today's game here. And, we have a very exciting matchup of our East Coast preliminary championships. So first I will introduce Peter Albrecht from DC. Peter, how are you doing today? Why don't you tell everyone about yourself?
Hey, good to see you again. Really excited to continue down this journey. Living in DC and working in helping some nonprofits advocate for themselves in the city here.
Very worthy cause. So, congratulations on clearing the first round and welcome to round two. Our other competitor, the one that you'll be facing off against today, Chris Shen, coming to us from Central Mass. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm admittedly a little tired because I made the mistake, and I understand that this is dating the podcast, but I woke up early today to watch the Women's World Cup, and that was a big mistake, and I'm tired and disappointed.
That shootout was stressful, man.
Yeah. Oof.
Well, not a problem dating the podcast. We do it all the time, despite our best interests. So, but I appreciate it, and welcome back. So, this is going to be a different format than the first game that we played. So, let me go through this together with everybody. So, round two is going to be called Streaks. And so, the way that this is going to work is the competitors are going to get 10 questions. And the scores will have a cumulative multiplier. So if you get the first question correct, you'll get 1 point. If you get the subsequent question correct, that question will be worth 2 points, and so on and so on. So if you get all 10 correct, your last question will be worth 10 points. If you miss a question, you are reset on that next question to 1 point again, and then you can build up your streak from there. So any questions with how this format will work? Hopefully this will make it easier to differentiate as opposed to, say, someone getting 9 questions and the other competitor getting 9 questions and they have the same score. Hopefully this will give a little bit of an edge to someone who can string together the best record here. So
Sounds good.
Sounds clear to me.
All right. Well, if we've got no questions, we'll just go ahead and jump right into it. I am excited as ever to kick this round off. So we'll start with the first question here. Probably the most famous and influential world map in history was produced in 1569 by which Flemish cartographer who used shipping lines and then contemporary knowledge to display the world?
I have Mercator.
Okay. And Chris?
McNally.
Okay. And the answer is Gerardus Mercator. So first point there going to Peter.
I didn't know that it was that long ago. That was...
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Like he was doing projections that long ago? Wow.
Yeah. And we've had a weird idea of how big Greenland was ever since.
Yep.
Question two. Which scientist designed the iconic V2 rocket, which would serve as the base for many weapons and ICBMs to come?
I was talking to Peter before the podcast about MIT and how I'd never want to go there. And I probably know the answer to this question. Just too cutthroat there, too stressful. All right, I'm going to lock in with what I'm sure is the wrong answer. And I'm just going to say Nobel.
Okay. And Peter?
So this is a wild guess, but I don't think I didn't think I was going to get any closer, especially for this time period. So I'm going to say Einstein.
Okay. Unfortunately, no points to either competitor there. If you're a fan of the movie October Sky, you'll hear Homer Hickam, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, say this name about 1,000 times. This is Wernher von Braun. Hmm.
That's it. Yeah. Great movie, by the way.
Question 3. Ammonium thioglycolate is a salt best known for its use in what process, after which it is sometimes named?
I'll say, I don't think this is right, but I'll say saltpeter for curing.
Okay. And Chris, what do you think?
I was going along the same lines. I said curing meat.
Okay, unfortunately not. This is the salt used for perming hair. Hmm. So...
Never had one.
Yeah, tough start to this one. Don't feel bad. I wouldn't do any better. Question 4. At least 27 different U.S. states contain a town that shares its name with which sovereign nation? The one of these in Kansas is the closest settlement to the geographic center of the contiguous 48 states.
I'll lock in. I'll say Switzerland. Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
No, you're good. Chris, what do you think?
Well, if I had an answer, I probably would have locked in by now. Talking it out is hard. Sovereign nation. I'll just say France.
All right, and Peter said Switzerland, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. No points, unfortunately, again on this one. I believe in Kansas, maybe in Kansas, but certainly in Kentucky, I've heard it pronounced Lebanon. I think this is Lebanon. So, all right, on to the next question here. Question 5. In 1967, due to the Detroit riots and losing Holland Dozier Holland over pay disputes, what was moved to Los Angeles, whereafter it also expanded into film and TV production?
I think I'm going to guess General Electric.
Okay. And Chris?
I said Motown Records.
And the answer here is Motown Records.
All right.
Nice. Well done. Tied up.
Yeah, so tied up after, after 5. You both have 1 point. So the streaking is going very well. Will Ferrell would be proud of you in Old School. That's the record, or the reference there, right? Okay.
Go streaking.
Question number 6 for you both. Hopefully this second half will take a better turn. Both Nelly Furtado and Hall & Oates have scored top 20 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 with songs bearing what title reminiscent of Ryan, your supposed to be host for today, and or your mom?
Rich Girl? I don't know. I have no idea.
Chris, what do you think?
It's a total guess, but I said You're Beautiful.
All right. And the answer to this question is Maneater.
Oh. Yeah.
Comes off a little bit better if Ryan's hosting. So.
Yeah.
Sorely missed.
One of my wife's, her college exes, who's a friend of ours, has her custom ringtone as Maneater because of their brief dating period. So.
All right, next question. Joining the likes of Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story, and if you count straight versus musical adaptations, Les Miserables, which story has twice been nominated for the Best Picture Oscar? While the one from last year took home several trophies, the OG 1930 version actually took home top honors that night.
Pinocchio.
Okay, and Peter.
It's La La Land.
All right. Unfortunately, guys, this was All Quiet on the Western Front.
Sure. Yep.
All right. On to question 8 here. Shorter one. What name is shared by Julius Caesar's final wife and the Finch family's maid and cook in To Kill a Mockingbird? Okay, Peter locked in. Chris, what are we looking at?
Lucky Johnson's not going to help me with Julius Caesar's wife. I'll just say Octavia. I don't know.
Okay, Octavia and Peter?
Total guess. So I was just Helen.
Helen, okay. No, unfortunately, this one's Calpurnia.
Okay.
Yeah, Calpurnia. All right. Hopefully better luck for you guys on this next one. We may have to go to tiebreakers, but we are not there yet.
Well, we scored more than they did in the Women's World Cup in 120 minutes.
That's right. And then you guys have only been on the clock for like 20. So doing great. Next question. What is the term in politics for the act of using deception to make one's campaign appear grassroots? In reality, these candidates are generally funded by rich donors with specific interests to push.
I'm feeling this question skews towards Peter and his home location of DC. I'm gonna tap. I know I'm gonna kick myself when I hear it, but I'm gonna tap.
All right, Chris is tapping out. Peter, what do you have?
AstroTurf.
AstroTurf or AstroTurfing is the correct answer. Yes.
Yeah, I never would have gotten that.
Yeah.
All right. And question.
I would never do such a thing.
I'm going to move right on past that one to question number 10. In order to be fit for regulation, which sports ball must be 40 millimeters in diameter, bounce up 24 to 26 centimeters when dropped onto a steel block from a height of 12 inches?
All right, I'll lock in.
Same.
All right, and Chris?
Ping pong or table Peter? Tennis?
I'm gonna say a golf ball.
Okay, and the correct answer here, we would have taken ping pong, but you did say table tennis. Table tennis is the correct answer. Nice. So unfortunately, I do think we have to figure out a tiebreaker, guys.
Tried to not do it. Oh, well.
All right, guys, and so finishing up the game with a tie made it very difficult for us. We were not prepared for this. So I had to call in some special help. So lifting me up, propping me up to make sure I can fulfill my host duties for this episode, I called in a favor from Neil. So he's going to be joining us here in just a second. Keeping it in theme of streaking, we're going to do a number guess based on a pretty impressive streak. Isn't that right, Neil?
That is correct. And speaking of streaking, I am fully naked in the studio right now, putting glass on my knuckles, getting ready for a fight, which is more kickboxer than Bloodsport, but who cares? It's Jean-Claude Van Damme. Your question is going to be a number guess, as Jeff said. It's going to be closest to the pin. The question is themed around streaks. So in honor of Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man kicking off an incredible streak of Marvel Cinematic Universe films, which is in the late 20s, I believe, at this point, or mid-20s, we're going to be talking about a different Iron Man, though. We're going to be talking about Cal Ripken Jr., who surpassed Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees with the most consecutive games played, and his was over 16 years of his career. So I'm looking for the number of games Cal Ripken played consecutively over his 16 years in the MLB that gave him the record.
Peter's in with his guess, and Chris, what'd you come up with?
So I'm doing a little bit of math, 162. I took a guess. I think it's about 15 years, something like that, based on my handwritten math. Came out with 1,830. That number seems a little low to me, so I'm just going to round it up a little bit. I'm going to say 2,055.
2,055, Peter?
I'm going to party like it's 1999.
I like it, 1999. And Neil, what is our answer?
From May 30th, 1982 through September 19th, 1998, Cal Ripken Jr. played 2,632 Whoa. Consecutive games.
Wow. Nice.
So, wow, no wonder he got that nickname, Neil. Thank you for providing that for us. And I think that puts Chris closest to the overall pin. So, unfortunately, Congrats. Peter,
thank you.
We're going to have to bid you adieu. Is there any last words you'd like to say before we move on with Chris to the next competition?
No, just congratulations. A well-fought, kind of drawn-out battle, but bested and well done. looking forward to seeing the results. Good luck in the next round.
Yeah, it's always tough when it comes down to that, but just out of nowhere, somebody crawled out of the sewer grate in the middle of the stadium and just sliced you right in the Achilles, and you fumbled at the last minute. So, you know, it's a real shame, but you fought like hell, so we got to give you props for that. And Chris, we'll be seeing you in Bloodsport, and you'll be representing the U.S. East Coast. So congratulations.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you, and good job, Peter. You're a worthy opponent. I feel like the end of there's one of those Rockies where they both knocked each other out at the same time, and they're trying to climb up the ropes before it counts to 10.
Well, certainly, I hope for the fans it'll be entertaining as well. And I have one more person to thank. Ryan, thank you so much for writing these great questions. Looking forward to having you back in the studio soon. And one non-human to thank, and of course, that is our network, Airwave Media. You can find them at airwavemedia.com, where you can check out such other great shows as Monster Talk, Southern Gothic, and Fork in the Road. So check them out. A lot of great stuff over there at Airwave Media. So for Ken, Matt, and Neil, my other co-hosts who will be hosting other regions as we go on through this section of the tournament, thank you as well. And we'll see you next week.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.